You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. It's your good buddy, Joe Thrash and Kill, here with another thrilling episode of the Toiled of Hell radio show. I am joined by my best friends in the whole wide world. We've got the golden boy, 365 days of horror, as we're going to call him for the rest of the show, Jordan. How you doing, Jordan?
Please don't make me go back to work. Whatever you do, do not make me go back to work. I can't handle it anymore. I like staying at home doing nothing.
I kind of had one of those, what is the word for it? Intrusive thoughts all day yesterday where I was thinking about just like getting hit by a car or something so I just don't have to go back to work.
It's the dream, isn't it? Or getting hit by like a rich senator from a southern state.
Yeah, as long as you can get those long-term disability benefits that pay out at like 80% or whatever, like I'm golden. I don't need my legs. Before we get into that stuff, we also have our friend
Bruno Side. Anyway, by the by, I'm here. I've been here. I'm going to stay here. How's it going, fellas?
You know, aside from all of us thinking about what bad thing can I have happen to me that will keep me from going to the job that I hate?
I mean, but that's just my default mindset all the time. I just have intrusive thoughts all the time about the worst possible shit usually happening to me. But then I think about like all the pain meds and like, you know, the recovery time and probably a broken pelvis is just about a guarantee getting hit by a car. That doesn't fucking feel good, I'm sure.
No, but like I think about this all the time. Like if you could just concentrate moments of pain into like, you know, little packages throughout the year or whatever so you can get over like, well, I would have had this many hours of existential dread with work. Is that worth just one concentrated, like, femur snap? And
I mean,
I'm not sure.
Do you know how long it takes to, like, fix a femur in your own body there? Like, it's not just like, let me just get through this hump, you know, over the course of a very short time. No, you're going to be, like, in physical therapy for God knows how long. You got to think smart here. You got to have a mental breakdown.
I'm way ahead of you, Bruno.
Right, but the mental breakdown being like big and public and insane. I'm talking run around screaming naked in the streets and just having a wide-eyed glare, you know? Having like a fugue state like in Breaking Bad.
No, but depending on where you live, you could be committed.
Yeah, or shot by the cops. And then you have the same problem that you're dealing with in the first place, that you need money to live and you don't make any money with a mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm. And also, let's be honest, more people will give you sympathy seeing you in a cast than having that happen.
Yeah.
I think, fellas, we're not looking at the big picture here. You got to have both. You got to have the mental breakdown where you strip naked, run screaming in the street, and then get hit by the car.
No, because that makes you possibly liable for the damages to the car.
And the road. I mean, you probably would have been anyway. How many times can you get hit by a car where it's the car's fault? You got to find, I mean, you could strip naked and run through a crosswalk. Just like make sure you just sprint through that crosswalk right at the right moment. It's a complicated subject.
Yeah. When I used to ride my bike a lot, I would almost get hit all the time. Maybe that's just what I need to do.
Yeah. I mean, don't do that naked because
no, that
would probably be uncomfortable on your balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you don't want anything getting caught in the spokes.
Yeah. That'd be a terrible sight for everybody that would be nearby too.
Yeah, if you were a naked man and you were riding a bicycle, where would your balls rest? Would it be on one side of the seat? Would it be on the back of the seat, just like up on your butt where everybody saw it?
Isn't that where the basket in the front is for?
Yeah.
On this week's episode of the Heavy Metal Podcast, I figured what we'd do is the same thing we did last week. We'd check in with our friend, the most interesting new face in metal. Of course, talking about former Scorpions drummer James Kotak. We all know the Kotak attack, right?
Kotak attack. It's coming.
So James hasn't been tweeting much lately, but he jumped on Twitter the other day to let everybody know This Friday, I'll be at Petey's place in Reseda with my good friend Marty from Outlaw Radio, who has put together a benefit for Children's Hospital. For a mere $10 donation, more is welcome. Marty's band Motor Sickle and others will perform. See you there.
Just Children's Hospital.
It says just Children's Hospital. and the band Motor Sickle, that would be S-I-C-K-L-E.
I'm surprised he would want to be associated with something that sounds so clearly communist.
You know, these guys feel a certain way about charity versus, redistributing efforts to people who need it. But
yeah,
if you press them on that, they'll just get really fucking mad.
Charity's a tax write-off.
You know? Yeah.
Especially when you make all the checks out to cash.
Good point. I did not consider that. So we miss out at going to Petey's place in Reseda to see Motor Sickle, but that's a shame. So he had one of his followers here. this would be a character by the name of Bill Cutting. Bill Cutting 7 has, of course, the ABI of Bill the Butcher from Gangs of New York, that... that guy that was real cool. he just replies, "Hey James, would you be a guest on the Crypto Report sometime?" He replies, "Yes. When?" And he, gives his email address and everything to reach out and get it all put together. So I was curious, what is the Crypto Report? The Crypto Report with a K, KRYPTO report. I decided to Google that, and actually, Jordan, you Googled that as well. What did you see?
The first hit that I got was for archive.org, where a bunch of this guy's episodes of his podcast show up, and it's like Dan Crenshaw, TPUSA watching party, and stuff like White Wednesday. And the logo for this show is some giant, I don't know if it's a Bigfoot or some sort of monkey man.
I think that's definitely a Yeti, right. Cryptozoology, crypto. Yeah. Right?
See, I don't know what they mean exactly by crypto, because I assumed it was about like cryptocurrency, but it's not. So
you do need to add that one detail to the Yeti, though. What is he wearing?
He's wearing an armband with a symbol that, has to be extremely racist.
That's the Fasces symbol. It's the stick, bundle of sticks together with an axe. Singing out, it's Fasces. You can put together what that means. the first result is from archive.org. The second result,
Daily Stormer.
Daily Stormer. Oh,
wow. Interesting.
Kotak attack.
Kotak attack. I should note that. The there were two replies to Bill Cutting's request that he join the Crypto Report. It was James Kotak saying yes, and an account called the James Kotak Fan Club replying, "I'm sorry for my ignorance, but what is this?"
That's a level of lucidity I wouldn't expect for an account that's the James Kotak fan account.
Imagine being the James Kotak fan account for any reason, first of all, but then this being too much, just like, excuse me, James, what's happening here?
So,
which means it's not actually James Kotak running the fan account, which I'm also surprised by.
Yeah, that amazes me.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that is good for James.
Yeah.
So yeah, this has been our James Kotak corner for the week. James, in which the gang experiments with fascism.
Beautiful. Is anyone really surprised?
No, yeah. Not even a little bit.
I'm gonna go and find out what the qualifications for joining the James Kotak fan club are. Like, what do I have to contribute to become a member?
You could be the 23rd follower on Twitter.
Wow. You have to submit a DNA report.
Yeah, like an ancestry.com. Right. Any Native American or African in there, it's instant disqualification.
Especially if you are in an interracial relationship and eat breakfast in a commercial.
I would never. I'm an American.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, it's the most gentlest of breeze nudges people over from garden variety American conservatism to straight up neo-Nazism.
Just almost soft-handed nudge, isn't it?
Just that Venn diagram is just two circles on top of each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there is the one that's like just outside of it where they look at, you know, everybody that they know, everybody that they associate with, all the writers they enjoy that are full-on, full-throated Nazis, and they're like, well, I agree with their ability to say that. You know, I'll defend till my death their ability to say it, but I don't agree with the content of it.
But I'm sharing it here anyway.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm drawing a cover art for Exarsis anyway.
I'm looking forward to getting sued on that one.
Yeah, I'm sure you will get sued through email asking for a certain sum, and it will be his wife under a different name or something.
I wanted to talk about a story this week, if that's okay with y'all.
Let's do it.
This one popped up yesterday. It popped up like everywhere, and it got shared in multiple groups that I'm in, just because this kind of hits like a perfect vortex of, you know, celebrity news and, you know, classicism, and heavy metal to an extent. The headline here is, Sharon Osbourne says she forced an assistant to enter a burning house to retrieve artwork and then fired him. I'm going to go ahead and read this from CNN Entertainment, only the highest quality news. Sharon Osbourne has a shocking confession. The co-host of CBS's The Talk appeared on the BBC hit show Would I Lie to You? Christmas Special and made a wicked claim. The panel show features celebrity guests who tell some true and some not-so-true tales to the fellow guests, who have to decide whether the guest is telling the truth. In this case, Osbourne claims it's all true. Osbourne says that during a house fire that started after she and her husband, Ozzy Osbourne, accidentally left a candle burning, she forced a former assistant to go back into the blaze to recover precious artwork. She also said that once the paramedics arrived, she proceeded to rip the staffer's oxygen mask off his face and give it to her dog. Despite taking on the daring task of entering the burning home, their former assistant was fired, she said on the BBC broadcast. Why? Because the staffer didn't laugh about the incident. I once sacked a member of my staff because he showed absolutely no sense of humor during a house fire. I said, if you don't think that's funny, do you think this is funny? You're fired.
I'm, like, stunned. I hadn't heard any of this.
Just, like, let's go back to the beginning. I didn't realize this, but apparently Sharon Osbourne has a knockoff of The View called The Talk.
Yeah, it's been on a few years now with lesser celebrities. I think it's less contentious than The View, and it also doesn't have Meghan McCain.
I would rather absolutely die than watch The View.
So when you say less contentious, you're saying it offends. It does less to pander to the liberal market and makes sure to keep things nice and sweet and even.
Yes,
for a wider audience. Imagine that.
We should tune in one day. We'll watch an episode of The Talk so we can understand what people who are home all day and want to watch women talk in a round circle but don't want to listen to The View ladies here instead.
Yeah, that's okay. I think I'll sit that one out.
It's like wanting to drink cyanide with Flavor-Aid instead of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like get some Tang in there.
Tang would be good. I think that'd cover up the bitterness.
That's just cyanide just kind of tastes like Tang.
It might. I don't know.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
You heard it first, people. Tang is cyanide.
No, man. They had the orangutan. Something with a karate chop and orangutan wouldn't taste bad, right?
That's right.
A kick in a glass.
Yeah. Which is different from Hawaiian Punch. How?
Well, no, it's
Hawaiian Punch is red.
It's a punch. this is a kick, Joe. Have you ever been punched and then kicked? They're different.
Ah, that's a good point. Good point. This show, BBC's Would I Lie to You, it's great. The thumbnail from this is three horrible British celebrities all doing the YouTube clip face on the thumbnail here. I recognize Mark Corrigan from Peep Show, which I really like, but him doing that face with his fucked up British mouth, it's just infuriating to look at.
Just gray and pointing in every direction.
Exactly.
So I hadn't, I guess I had heard about this fire thing whenever it happened, but I'm looking it up now. And according to our favorite news source, Loudwire, I just want to read this little paragraph for you. At about 4:45 on January 17th, 2013, a fire ignited from a candle that exploded in a glass vase, causing a minor conflagration in the living room of the Osbournes' Beverly Hills home. The couple was awakened by fire alarms when he noticed the small fire. Ozzy tried to put it out with his hand, which was already in a cast from a previous injury. Sharon tried to snuff the blaze with water, but only made it worse by spreading hot oil from the candle. Ozzy suffered minor burns to his face and hand. The fire also burned off his eyebrows and singed his hair. Sharon escaped unscathed.
Oh, imagine that.
And there's one more thing I want to add to this. A spokesperson for the fire department initially said electrical problems caused the fire, but further investigation revealed that it was heat from the fireplace that set nearby wood paneling alight. So even the fire department is dumb as shit when it comes to these things.
Or do you think they're actually telling the truth?
I don't think that I think that the Beverly Hills fire department probably just goes along with whatever the dipshits that live there say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine there's a ton of shoe leather reporting investigation going into all this.
I wonder where we make the distinction from candle to wood paneling, though. Like, where was the candle located that it could have damaged the wood paneling in order to suggest, you know what I'm trying to fucking get to here? It's just, I don't know. Do you think they lied to the fire department initially and the fire department went, yep, that's probably what happened because they were embarrassed and
that's
dumb.
Exactly what happened.
Okay.
I would love to see a video of these two fucking dildos trying to save their own lives and failing.
Like if it's really just playing in my head. Like, I get it exactly. Fucking Ozzy with this guy. I'm fucking fly.
If it wasn't
smashing his dumb broken arm.
An army of servants and handlers, these two would be just like dead in a ditch. But
complete fucking morons.
I'm glad that you pointed out that this is in Los Angeles, because of course it is. Because if they were in the UK, you couldn't just fucking fire somebody after you've abused them like that way, because there are some labor protections. Here, it's just whatever fucking immigrant that they could pay for the least amount of money and abuse the most and just dispose of when they feel like it, because rich people are soulless fucking cretins.
And it's also whatever the assistants sign, too. The NDAs all the time.
I mean, yeah, but regardless, there are no labor protections. I remember a couple of months ago in the biggest part of fire season in LA, there were all these stories coming out of the house staff for the ultra rich in Los Angeles being forced to like go in and do their regular shifts, or the folks that were at their second houses avoiding the fires weren't even going to be there, didn't even care. They just were texting and saying like, you have to show up or I'll fire you. So people getting smoke inhalation, having to travel through incredibly dangerous terrains to go dust at a fucking mansion. It's sickening. And it's cool that Sharon Osbourne is one of those people. Ozzy, too. Ozzy doesn't get a free pass on this shit, either.
Nope.
I mean, he doesn't know what's going on, so maybe a little bit of a pass.
Well, we got to separate the artist from the art, guys. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Stop listening to Ozzy. He's so good still.
I still haven't heard his track with who is it? Lil Peep.
You don't have to. It's amazing. I think it's Post Malone.
Oh, okay. So another white guy minstrel show.
I'm sure Post Malone has an assistant or two.
Anyway, I just felt like I should share that little nugget just to remind everybody what monsters these people are. Like, I believe that if this assistant caught fire, neither one of them would piss to put them out.
Not to mention that she's, like, clapping and cackling in her shitty witch voice, like, about this sometime later. Like, it's hilarious on television. I'm sure the audience is just roaring along with her.
Yeah. Wow. We ought to do something about all these wealthy folks. I don't know. It ought to be something, though. We'll think about that, and then we'll come back to y'all with an answer. What have y'all seen happening lately?
Stuff, sad stuff, annoying stuff. The big story of the past week was Lorna Shore kicking out their vocalist for saying and doing all sorts of bad things.
Can you give us a recap for those of us who don't know maybe what a Lorna Shore is or what this fella did?
So Lorna Shore is a relatively new band, at least on a national scale. They're signed to Century Media, and their new album's actually coming out in like 2 or 3 weeks. People may know the band as having their logo look exactly like it says Gotor, which that's how I know them. Like every time I've seen an advertisement for like a show, I'm like, oh, Gotor's playing. Huh. Oh, wait, that's not Gotor. That's Lorna Shore. And I also confuse them with Loma Prieta, that band.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's just one of those band names that mushes together with like every other similar sounding band name, like The Red Shore or Loma Prieta or all these other names. So it's kind of like, wait, who's this again? But this band is like symphonic deathcore, which doesn't sound
awful,
appealing.
Man.
I mean, it's like your bog standard deathcore, but with, you know, the type keyboards. But it was recently reported this week that the band kicked out their vocalist CJ McCreary due to racism allegations and more prevalent sexual abuse allegations as well. And an ex-girlfriend.
Wait, go ahead. A racist, misogynist, deathcore guy?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
covered in terrible tattoos.
Yeah, nice tattoos. Look at these face tats, man. He's got like a clock on his neck. I'm sure that time frame is important. Maybe he
time's
can change
up.
It. Yeah.
It says here.
He also has a key tattoo on his cheek, and it says Conquer on his jawline, by the way.
I love the little key. It's like, I'm sure there's such a deep meaning to that. Yeah, you guys should have known you had a deathcore vocalist for a deathcore vocalist.
So it was an ex-girlfriend who has been writing about this apparently since April, and it was only brought to attention now. But other people have joined in as well, whether they're like from the scene that this band originally came from, saying like, oh yeah, like everyone knew this, or it's like other women that have dealt with this guy, and there's some screenshots and some receipts going on. But I think the most interesting thing out of all of this is that the band, when they kicked him out, they said it's not because of this, which makes me worry that there's something much worse.
Oh. Or they don't care and there's just something arbitrary going on the side.
Yeah, it's like CJ drank the rest of my beer the other day. He's got to go. So yeah, that's pretty fucked up. Apparently he was also like trying to bang underage girls, which again, deathcore. Wow.
Yeah, well the girl in question who is his long-term girlfriend started out as a 17-year-old. That's when he was most interested in her.
Mm.
And started out as a fan that he just wanted to fuck around with. If anyone listening wants to check it out, her Twitter handle is Nicole X Garvey. That's Nicole with just a C, no H, just Nicole X Garvey. And she has so many fucking receipts. She's just been posting for days, like all of these long drawn out text messages of just what a piece of work this guy is. And it's really something to behold. A lot of good vibes all around here.
It's a deal with, I was going to say deathcore, but it's also like a pop punk thing. And I was going to say, like, it's also like a crusty legacy metal thing. We're just like,
it's a Warped Tour thing.
I was going to say Warped Tour big time.
What is it? I got to wonder if guys get into these bands like with the intention of predating on underage kids, or like if it's just something that happens when you come up in the scene and you see every other scumbag doing this too. It's not excusing either way. I'm just saying that this entire whole scene is disgusting.
I think it's a power thing. I think these guys are in a band that usually young people like and idolize, and you know, they run up to them and let me get a picture, let me get this, can I get this, and it goes from there, and it's that power dynamic.
Oh yeah,
being abused.
Oh certainly.
Cool. And there's also some screenshots of him not liking black people.
Saying I wish death to feminists. Like to this girl, to tell her to shut the fuck up. Like during his, like she went on Twitter for some shit he did, and so he proceeds to text her some extreme stuff about how mad he is about her posting stuff on Twitter, which is like the smartest thing to do when the backlash is inevitable, is just keep throwing gas on that fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody accused this guy of being being a genius of some type.
Oh, this is interesting. I'm looking them up now, and he's only been their vocalist for like a year. They had a different one who ended up joining Chelsea Grin.
Ugh. All roads lead back to Chelsea Grin.
I'm available, guys. I can hand flap and scream with the best of them.
Would you be in a deathcore band if the opportunity came up for a band that's signed to Century Media and is presumably going to get on a bunch of tours?
That's a really good question.
Which one of us? Because I'm a 32-year-old man that has no interest in any of this shit.
Yeah, I mean, you have no interest, but I suppose to perform in front of a large audience, if that would be some sort of draw, or let's say, you know, you record one album with us and you get X amount of dollars. If it's a nice chunk of change, would you just, it's not your thing, but like, would you just do it for a year, let's say, especially for all of us who hate our jobs?
You got to work on your piggy squeal. I'm sure that's some complicated lyric, but it's good enough.
Brenna, would you do it?
Fuck it. Why not? It would be like the thing, instead of getting hit by a car to lose your job and everything, so you didn't have to work, you could just go on tour as a deathcore vocalist.
Yeah, no, I like being at home with my family and animals. I don't really want to go play the Poughkeepsie Amphitheater to a bunch of 15-year-olds. That honestly seems worse than going to my horrible desk job.
hey, it's called the Chance Theater, and it's very not nice.
Yeah, it's not. It's quite the dump.
It's impossible to find, and it's in the worst part of town, and there's one-way streets everywhere. Check it out next time your band doesn't know where they're playing.
How about this, then? How about you do the vocalist thing for deathcore band, but then you get to put your little spin on it and tell people about how they should make their own soap and how they should be nice to the environment and donate $5 to Bernie Sanders.
So if I could somehow turn a deathcore band into like
into Twitter account,
into an anarcho-communist band. Yeah, that would be more interesting to me, I think. It seems like it's tough to generate some kind of organic following with that when the built-in fan base is probably posting on like r/incel, you know?
4chan/B, at least, you know?
I feel like that's like our day. I feel like the kids nowadays don't even fuck with that.
I mean, honestly, deathcore was more our day. This is old shit. It's old news. Unless you put a certain computerized beepity-whoop in there, the kids ain't into it. Like, a lot of these guys are in their early mid-30s.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah. Well, Jordan, you're more of a musician than the rest of us. Would you do it?
I think it would have to depend on the band and the deal, but I'd strongly consider it.
So Chelsea Grin needs a new vocalist. You're gonna go ahead and face tat up?
Yeah, you get the.
I'm just gonna get a hummingbird tattooed right on my forehead, and I'll be good to go.
What would be the band that you'd be like, yeah, let's do this?
It probably wouldn't be in deathcore.
You can't change the parameters of this.
Throw out some deathcore bands, then. It wouldn't be Suicide Silence now. That's
come on,
sure.
Do Emir, man. Get Frankie off the map and replace him. You could fill his shoes. I know.
I'm sure he could fill his shoes. I think that could potentially at least be fun. Like, you could have fun with it. But, like, does anyone want to see Emir nowadays?
With you, I would see it.
Or is it like when Head PE goes on tour and it's just sad all the time?
Some local bands have to sell tickets thinking they're going to make it big, being the 20th band that opens for Emir featuring Jordan.
The Acacia Strain, like, surprise put out a new album a couple of days ago, and it's pretty good. Like, it's a lot more complex than some of the previous stuff that they've done. I liked Wormwood or whatever when that came out a lot. I kind of fell off after. But I feel like their vocalist is such a key component of the whole thing. So, like, having me on there, I would just be pelted by beer bottles the entire time.
Oh, yeah. The Acacia Strain fans would destroy you. They would hate you. They would mosh you to death on stage because every stage Acacia Strain plays is like a milk crate on the floor. So
yeah, and all of their fans are bigger than me.
Yeah. They're actually a Chicopee band. They're from where I grew up, so I there's a chance I could maybe in some strange way try to get in there. I knew a guy who used to be in the Acacia Strain as a guitarist, and the band kicked him out because he got horribly sick one day and had to go to the hospital instead of playing one show, and that was enough.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tough break. Dude,
you know, playing the second stage at the Palladium is too important to us.
This entire industry is just filled with fucking tyrants. So yeah, that's the. I guess that's what we have the answer to on this one. I forgot what we were talking about, but yes,
I question the wisdom of releasing a surprise album. Like, didn't Avenged Sevenfold do this a year or two ago and it bombed horribly?
Yeah,
because it was a surprise. People didn't know it was coming.
But like, Avenged Sevenfold is like leagues above where the Acacia Strain is at, right? You know,
like, yeah. Well, people are going to buy the Acacia Strain because they already like them. It doesn't matter when they release it. But I guess it's, you just now have to rely on word of mouth that people are saying, "Oh, this is really good," rather than having the whatever 2 to 3 month buildup of here's a song, here's a video, here's interviews.
I do find that kind of irritating, the build up to the album release. I feel like 1 month is good enough.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. Sometimes that happens, but yeah, like the 3 month hype cycle for an album, I don't know if it really does it that many favors. They put out half the fucking music anyway, if you work with certain labels.
I find it more annoying when a band releases a video a year after the album has come out.
Oh yeah, that's so annoying. Like,
we've moved on.
Yeah, nobody cares anymore. But I feel like these guys have been around for so long; they've done that pre-album build up so many times. They might just be like, "Fuck it, our fans are incredibly online. They've got like huge presence everywhere. Just put it out to them directly." Yeah. It probably makes a lot of sense. It saves some time, saves some money, saves some frustration from the band having to do the same fucking interviews over and over and over again.
Oh yeah, they don't want to talk to schmucks like us.
No, I planned on doing a post about this for the site probably like 4 years ago now, maybe longer. But the Acacia Strain specifically, they've got a tab on their Facebook profile specifically for fan tattoos. people that have gotten tattoos of artwork featuring the Acacia Strain. And it varies from pretty good to holy shit, what glue sniffer did this in his basement? And it's a lot of fun to look at.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got that kind of a fan base, like, you can probably go ahead and put it out.
All right. Just one more thing on our buddy CJ McCreary. I do have the lady who kind of brought this all to light, Nicole. She had wrote something up about like his behavior. Just like a quick little statement. So do you want me to go through that, or should we just move on?
Go for it. Do the thing.
Okay. So Nicole writes, I put a lot of thought into my mental health over the past few days, and I know I promised a huge detailed story, but I truly don't owe anyone that. I don't care what strangers or other abusers said in context. Don't believe the trauma I've endured that will honestly probably affect me for the rest of my life, but this is the last time I'm going to talk about it, because this person doesn't deserve one more minuscule fiber of my being, blood, sweat, or tears. CJ McCreary and I met a few months after I was 17. This was way before CJ from Lorna Shore or any of his stupid band shit, back when he wanted to blow up in his grandma's basement. We were on and off dating or having excessive sexual relations for the next 4 years of my life. These years were long filled with manipulation, shaming, grooming, lies, cheating, STDs, sexual, emotional, and mental abuse. We have been around hundreds of people in the entire time that have seen and heard everything. The last time we were together earlier in this year, 2019, we were seeing each other again. He tried to even gaslight me to believe we never even met until I was 18. Even though at my 18th birthday party with dozens of our friends, we had been seeing each other that entire year. Even though the entire thing was recorded, like the uncomfortable videos he made me take for the year before that. Even though when I was 17, I was tied up in his mom's bathtub, letting him take videos of me blindfolded, pissing all over me.
Fuck.
Even though that's child pornography. Even though I let him degrade me, control me, abuse me, and use me emotionally, sexually, and financially in any way as he pleased for 4 years. No, wasn't an answer for CJ, and it never will be. I let a lot of horrible things happen to me over this time span, but never again will I subject myself to the abuse and mistreatment I endured for years. And it goes on, but I think that's enough.
Christ,
paint a picture of this fucking guy, you know?
So yeah, fuck. This guy was in the band for maybe a year. Like, just cut this, cut this fucker out. Like, that's so easy to do. And the band said it was unrelated for anything to this. That's blowing my mind.
The comments below are winners. We got this guy, Mr. Infinite, who says this is going to be hard to take coming from a stripper. And then my buddy Lilac Scoring just says, shut up, nerd.
I like to think that we've improved the discourse upon Twitter.
Yeah.
Just by getting straight to the chase like that.
Yeah. I don't think these people are worth any more of the time or effort. Just tell them to shut up and that they're a nerd.
Can we move on to something else?
Absolutely. Let's move on to something else.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. Anything more uplifting or something worse? We like to dig deeper. What's worse? What's better? What's going on?
I mean, worse and better. So Wacken Festival has announced more bands to play.
Hey,
and
that's good.
Wacken.
Wacken's good.
Wacken in your tool shed.
Wacken on Sunshine. So yeah, they announced that As They Lay Dying and Marduk are going to be part of this year's festivities.
No.
Wah, wah, wah.
And the thing about this that gets me the most is that Wacken has been sold out since like the end of July, beginning of August. and they're adding these bands now. So it's not like they're desperate to sell tickets. It's not like, oh, well, we just need a couple more big bands and then we'll be okay. They're good. No more people can come. So they've gone out of their way to include these very problematic bands because of riffs, I assume.
Well, I guess I'm going to be boycotting Bakken this year and, you know, not spending an exuberant amount of money to fly and then stay in Germany. Shame.
It's why? Like, are the you know, crusty Germans that make up this entire huge fucking field in Germany, like, you know, I just got to hear As I Lay Dying, like that Christian metalcore that really gets me going, man.
I could, you said it was Marduk, right?
Yeah.
I could probably see Marduk in Bakken.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That makes sense, but they still don't need to be there.
No, not at all.
Especially when, here, let me throw out some other names that are playing. Merciful Fate, Devin Who? Townsend, Judas Priest, Hypocrisy, Loudness. There's a really well-known bands that are playing. Amon Amarth, like, they're not hard up for well-known bands, for like massive headliners. You're good. You could throw on whoever you want, really.
Metal bands will be there. You have them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Slipknot's playing this. Slipknot, you're fine.
No, we got to get the puffy-lipped guy that went to prison.
And on top of it, they also have Nurgle's Jug Band is playing that no one cares about.
Oh, God.
He's like washboard scraping band.
Spoon what are they called? Like She and Him, Me and My Edge, Me and That Man. The project that no one can possibly care about.
I hope he gets booed off stage. I hope he completely gets booed off stage.
Just imagining the Emmett Otter Jug Band, but instead of you know, a happy little otter puppet, it's fucking Nurgle. Wearing an elaborate costume and talking about God equal dog, it's backwards, I am very autistic.
That didn't sound like you said artistic.
No, that's...
I'm trying to do his accent, whatever the fuck that is.
Something, somewhere around Poland, I think.
Yeah. No, that shit sucks. It's like, what... You just invited the stinky kids to the party for no good reason.
Right. Yeah. You had a full lineup. All the bands, man. I don't even know if Amon Amarth has ever missed a Bakken, but I don't know enough to say that. But there's everybody. You're plenty of long-haired men and women will be very happy with the lineup that was present before these two bands were featured.
It sells out every year. You know it sells out every year. So it... At this point, it almost doesn't matter who you book.
It's about the experience. It's just people will buy the tickets regardless. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying back to you.
Yes. The one thing that does cheer me up that I'm looking at the entire lineup is that As I Lay Dying and Marduk and Nurgle and his Jugs have to share the stage with Rectal Smegma.
Oh, good. That's good. Is that like the specific stage on a specific day?
All I know is that the band Rectal Smegma is playing. So it technically counts as they're sharing the same stage. Just like a band that has to sell tickets to play at 12:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
They technically are sharing the same stage with the Trapped.
I hope that Rectal Smegma comes on like after those bands. Like they have to like open for Rectal Smegma.
I hope they play directly after, so they have to like walk in all the gross gooiness that Rectal Smegma leaves on stage.
Is that a thing that they do? Do they actually leave Rectal Smegma on stage?
I choose to believe that. Yeah.
I choose to believe that since the event is sold out, the money's made, everything's dotted and set up, that As I Lay Dying had to pay to play to get on this bill.
$75,000 to play the Rectal Smegma stage.
Shit, I saw a thing the other day. I think it was Toby Driver from KO Dot had said, you know, your band could appear on Jimmy Kimmel Live or whatever the fuck if you want. It costs $15,000. And I had never thought about that in my life, that, these late-night shows are essentially commercials for your band. Of course you have to pay to play on these things.
I have a friend that was in a pop rock band a few years ago and played on Jimmy Kimmel show, and I can confirm that.
Everything's a racket, man.
I mean, just the labels pony up the money, but that's kind of why you tend to see a lot of the same bands playing, or like the hot new band plays like one time, and then, you know, you never hear Rectal Smegma playing Jimmy Fallon show.
I'd be interested to hear the insight from your friend on whether like the label made that money back.
I have no idea, to be honest. I assume they did. Just it's a huge audience. It's a national, and now especially with all these shows just being online, it's an international stage for your new band that you're trying to invest in to make money. It's worth it.
I would love it if some like pedal board bringing Brooklyn noisecore kid just like got on there with his big glasses and just wasted everybody's time with his like distortion and delay pedal for like 20 minutes, and it only cost him $15,000.
Was it like Reading or Leeds festival where it was like, why not Dying Fetus? And they had that little like online thing to get Dying Fetus to play one of these rock festivals. Why don't we do that for Rectal Smegma? Why don't we do a little Kickstarter for them or something?
Yeah,
somehow get $15,000 and get them to play Jimmy Kimmel.
No, I'm just thinking that between the three of us, we could pony up $15,000 by calling in some favors, right? And we could have our own band on Jimmy Kimmel, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Crotch Monster.
I think that would be Crotch Monster's big break.
I think that would be an incredible way to waste $15,000 and the cumulative 3 minutes of a whole lot of people.
I mean, I'm sure they gotta turn some people away. They gotta like hear the music and be like, no, that's not for our audience. Like, well, if you do have money,
we gotta practice. That's the biggest thing.
Well, I think all the practice in the world wouldn't make Crotch Monster be the type of band that they would want on late night TV.
It's the old saying is, how do he says to the cab driver, how do you get to the Jimmy Kimmel show? It's you practice, and have $15,000.
Yeah, I think we put out like our like Crotch Monster's Cherry Pie, like we have the one hit song that's like our do 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 do. We have like that one song, and then the rest of it is just noise trash. No, but man, like they don't know that.
Pie,
we just
perform Cherry Pie.
We just play the do 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 singly do dot clap song, and we do the millennial whoop. We go oh 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 oh.
Hey,
hey.
Can we do the Eagles of War song or Birds of War?
Stomp stomp clap.
Stomp clap stomp clap.
We do all.
I think when it comes to booking these things, it's probably they just go to the record labels that they know and trust, because we know how some of these like tinier and mid-level metal bands, usually from Orange County, work is that they have mommy and daddy's money. They would just use that money to get on one of these shows, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
I mean, $15,000 in the grand scheme of things is not a ton of money. Like, it's not exuberant. It's not $150,000. The barrier of entry
amps.
Yeah, really.
To get on Ozfest, it used to be like $75,000. So this is nothing.
So Sharon Osbourne could hire another fucking assistant to abuse.
You think she was spending that much money on her assistants? Minimum wage.
I mean, she probably, well, I don't know, if we do the math, minimum wage, she probably has like 8 or 9 assistants that just cry when they go home every night.
Yeah.
Maybe
hire my own agency.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we have some connections. We got some clout. We're not cash rich at the moment, but we could be if we did a GoFundMe with everybody that likes us. We can funnel these resources into the big time, by which I mean playing for exactly 3 minutes on Jimmy Kimmel's terrible television show.
And Jimmy Kimmel can like look at the camera the entire time while he introduces us, like comes up to shake my hand, but he's just staring through the fucking camera. Just stop looking at the camera. How did you get this in a career? How? You were awful in Saturday Night Live. You were fucking terrible.
No, this is Jimmy Fallon. It's Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
But yes, Jimmy Fallon is just the worst.
Yeah. That's the one I want to play. We were talking about Jimmy Kimmel. I don't care about Jimmy Kimmel.
Same thing.
Yeah, same shit. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't get enough shit for bringing
the
in...
The Man Show.
Yeah, for bringing in Adam... Carolla. Adam Carolla into prominence. Because that dude's like doing a campus tour with fucking Gary Prager right now.
All these snowflakes, they think they're so special. I was on The Man Show.
Yeah, I don't think I ever watched The Man Show. Did y'all?
Yeah, I did. I was a high school boy when it was on TV. So yes, I did.
Of course, you know, it was funny at that level of intelligence. Being 14, it's funny. It's not funny when you're 34.
Yeah, so I never had cable, you know, so I missed out on things like this. But from, you know, what I can see from the archives, it's like a recurring segment where women jump up and down on a trampoline, or the guys drink beer. It's like, damn, this is some next level shit.
I guess it was 2003, you know, 2002. It was a different time.
You say that, but at that same time, Jackass was changing the discourse for television forever. Like, that was the next level shit.
I mean, we have Jackass to thank for YouTube, because they wouldn't watch our videos. We had to go start a platform of our own.
And we're all the richer for it.
Yes. Thank you, Jackass, for TikTok and Snapchat. And it's just a prank, bro.
Jordan, you brought it up on a previous episode, or not? I don't, or maybe it was just our group chat where we were talking about Johnny Knoxville and all of the horrific injuries he sustained over the years. I finally watched his latest one, Action Point, the other day.
Me too.
It's good.
It's a real movie. Sort of.
It's a real movie. These stunts are really brutal.
I mean, he really hurt himself on that movie for our enjoyment, for a movie that no one saw.
That's the recommendation for this week. It was the critics did not like this one.
No, they don't usually.
And it is based on not the movie story itself, but it's based on Action Park, which is an incredibly dangerous playground for adults almost in the 70s and 80s, and I think only closed in the early 90s, but it was affectionately known as Traction Park because people would get very hurt all the time.
And I remember hearing about that from writers that were based in the Northeast. I'd never come into contact with any of that because, you know, that was the pre-internet times. So I'm so glad that he made this loving tribute to that park by making this movie with, you know, a barely put together story, but with just some brutal, brutal action.
He suffers for his art.
Yeah, and we have a new Jackass movie to look forward to as well. So all is not totally lost. Good things are coming up.
You just like wheeled that one into reality. Like, you just mentioned it, and then 5 minutes later, it was announced.
Less than 24 hours later, I couldn't believe it. I need to use my prognostication skills more often.
It's just one of those things where we're definitely like Hollywood. All Hollywood has left to offer is just nostalgia. There's no new IPs. They wait until it's just the right time for just the right generation of people to be just the right age to want something again and just talk about like, hey, you guys remember that thing that was really great they don't have anymore? And then bam, it's always going to be like this. So I think you got that premonition going based on how we've been treated as a, you know, as a consumer market.
We're going to get the Simple Life movie, aren't we?
We're going to get...
What did they do with Nicole Richie? Like, is she just like in a closet somewhere?
She married one of the guys from Good Charlotte.
Oh fuck, really?
I think so.
Oh, man.
I hope they like dig up the dead dog and carry it around because it's old and dead now, and that's the symbol.
Poor fucking Lionel having to deal with this shitbag from Good Charlotte. He's right. I wrote hello. I wrote dancing on the ceiling. What the fuck have you ever done?
Lifestyles and they're reaching the famous.
Awful. Awful song.
I don't want to be you.
Yeah, has Good Charlotte had more hits than Lionel Richie?
I don't want to be just like you.
There's no way, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. They've had three or four.
Yeah, but Lionel Richie had like a full-ass career. Like he was like real famous.
All I've ever remembered from Good Charlotte is how there's this one scene in MTV Cribs where one of them, any member of the band, I don't know which one, obviously way too much money to be made at the time. This guy brings the crew to his backyard and he's like, so like I was a really big fan of Scarface, you know, and I said that whenever I'd be rich, I would get that fucking tiger on a gold leash. So I got a tiger on a gold leash. Oh. And there's a fucking miserable tiger just laying around in a gold fucking leash, just sitting there. What, waiting for death?
Fucking shitbag.
So according to Googling their net worths, Lionel Richie has $200 million and Joel Madden has 20. So we're okay.
Which Joel Madden are you looking at?
The ugly one from Good Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Which one's the ugly one?
I was thinking about the former Yankees coach.
I mean, what's the lifestyle difference between $200 million and $20 million? Can we even fathom that?
Two tigers.
you gotta have a backup.
That's how Mike Tyson went broke feeding his tiger. It was on the receipts. Tiger meat. It's very expensive.
I thought it was pigeons.
Pigeons. I don't know. What's the funniest things we can think of to say in Mike Tyson's voice? Those are things that made him broke.
I mean, like, I'm pretty fascinated with the history of Mike Tyson, so I've read and listened to a lot of shit with him, and it seems like the most obvious answer here is cocaine.
It always is, isn't it?
Find a cheaper drug, folks. That's my advice for this week. Is there anything that you guys want to tack on?
So, apparently, Lars Ulrich of Metallica, his birthday is December 26th. Almost had it, Lars, you know? Could have been a Christmas baby, but nope. So anyhow, Kirk Hammett writes this heartfelt message on Twitter to his very good friend. He says, to my musical mischief partner in crime and in all things under the sun, Larsy Poo! All the best of days, bro. Can't wait to start fucking shit up again. Hope you have a great day. Don't eat too much cake. Much love and aloha. Musa kusa fisa talk. Is Kirk Hammett Samoan?
Yeah, he could be.
Or maybe he's in Hawaii.
He's his smallest Samoan.
You know, he's the littlest Samoan. I thought he was, I thought he was of Latin descent of
some. I thought he was Filipino.
Yeah.
He's none of these things. He's just white.
He's just a white guy.
And everyone's just been too shy to ask him.
I mean, look, the headline is read Metallica. I mean, Metallica, read Kirk Hammett's birthday message to quote unquote Larsy Poo. And I had to dig into that. Gotta have a positive spin on this very tough week.
I mean,
so happy birthday, Larsy Poo.
Yeah. We ought to, by the way, we ought to start doing this where we just grab a random blabbermouth thing that should not have ever been written down, should never have been reported. Motley Crue's Vince Neil photographed in Tennessee church for Christmas.
I like it.
Here's a good one. Poison drummer Ricky Rocket. I am over the nasty memes and political rhetoric.
I can rest easier knowing that. Thank you.
Me too, Ricky.
Same.
Now, this is a guy that I could drink a beer with. He gets it.
I just love this photo of him where he looks like Boy George with a Karen haircut and a shitty little line beard. It's good. I love it.
Great. You got people on Twitter who are just saying, you know, cops should not be so trigger happy and just kill black people so needlessly. And then Ricky Rod comes in and just goes, I'm just tired of the memes, you know? Tired of the discourse. Let's chill.
I'm just glad that this was worthy of reporting. So thank you, Blabbermouth. I think next week we'll dig into some more. We'll dig into some more totally necessary stories.
Absolutely. Well, that's. I guess we'll wrap this one up. And I'm just gotta. I just gotta say it. You gotta keep it metal, bros. Keep it metal.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.